Now on Mitchell's Front Page, Trent, talking tech.
Good morning, Trent. How are you?
Good morning, Mitchell. Very good. Hope you're well as well and had a great Easter.
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. Now, tell us about this saga between Apple and the FBI. There's been a new development.
Yeah, there's been an ongoing saga about an iPhone 5C that was apparently used by a terrorist in the San Bernardino attacks last December. Now, the courts and the FBI for some time have actually been trying to get Apple to bend over, essentially, and unlock the phone so that they can access data off the device. And it's been going before courts for a while now because Apple believes they shouldn't need to get involved in the case. At this point in time, they're officially off the hook because on Monday, the US Department of Justice was able to find somebody who has actually been able to successfully access the data. But, of course, it doesn't end the battle about privacy and security and where companies should stand with providing data off their customers' phones.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. If the FBI was able to get into the phone without Apple and needing them to come in and break into the phone, what does that say about the vulnerability of the phone and the security of the data?
Well, it certainly makes you think, you know, maybe it might be time for Apple to have a look at their security features and maybe up the ante a little bit if the government has actually been able to find a way of getting through without requiring any permissions at all from Apple to be able to, you know, authorise the accessing of data.
Yeah, it is a bit concerning, but it's just an age-old debate, as you keep saying, when it comes to freedom versus security. And, of course, we've had so many people on this, whether it comes down to metadata retention laws or filtering the internet. It's just such an ongoing debate, and it's one, I think, that will continue on for a very long, long time.
Yes, it'll go for a long, long, long time. We can be talking about this in 10 years' time. And, you know, various parties will have the opinions whether it's a positive or a negative thing for government to access data. I can see some positive sides, but I can also see plenty of chances for them to exploit data unknowingly to the user. You know, and that can be more of a concern than the need to actually collect the data. And if they need to collect the data, they can find ways of legally obtaining it.
And you say we could be talking about this in 10 years. There was a book written, a fiction book, nearly 20 years ago, I remember. It's called Digital Fortress, and it deals with this exact issue as a key plot in its story. So they've been talking about it for 20 years, and it will just continue to be going on as long as we have technology in our lives, I would say.
We'll continue to have this as a news story pop up from time to time.
Now, what are these photo editing tools that Google is now offering people?
Yeah, Google has a great little package of photo editing tools, which is similar to stuff you might find in current editions of Photoshop, Aperture and Lightroom. They're basically plugins that you drop into many of your popular photo editing tools to be able to, you know, tweak the settings just a little bit better and enhance your images that you are taking. Now, they're called the Nick Collection, and a lot of plugins for these big tools like Photoshop usually come at a cost, and these were previously on sale for a minimum of $149 US. But now Google has decided to release the entire collection for free. So you can essentially go online to Google's website and download a copy of these plugins for your favourite editing program and, you know, be able to play with your images a little bit better than you have.
So they work across a range of different editing programs, including Photoshop, is that right?
They do indeed. You can find out more details by going online to google.com/Nick Collection, and Nick is spelled N-I-K.
Oh, very interesting. I will definitely have a look at that. Speaking of photo editing, Instagram. Now, there's been a few changes at Instagram, and perhaps some of the users aren't very happy about it.
Yes, given that Instagram is owned by Facebook these days, and Facebook, as you know, love to make changes on the go to their website, which can frustrate people from time to time, and that's exactly what they've done with Instagram. They've decided to adjust the algorithm in which to display images on a person's device, their feed, they're giving higher priority to posts that Instagram thinks people will care about, rather than putting it in a normal timeline, which has frustrated many people. It'll go into effect today, and they reckon there's still weeks or months of testing to come, but many users are frustrated with the idea of it. They've been posting pictures online on the Instagram system using the hashtag #TurnMeOn to point out their frustration for the changes.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I think all social networks have gone through this debate many times in their development. Obviously, Facebook used to also just be a chronological timeline, and what's happened since is, of course, it is what Facebook thinks will enjoy the most. That's what it puts up the top, regardless of its chronology. And it used to be on Instagram, you could always just go through and every single users that you were following, all of their posts would be ranked equally. But now that's a bit of a shift. The other thing it raises is an interesting discussion about organic reach, because on Instagram, as we know, you can advertise, but a lot of companies and people have their Instagram accounts with massive followings, and people even pay money so that they can get product placement on people's Instagram feeds. And now it looks like if organic reach is going to fall, then that is going to be a big problem.
Yeah, and people are going to change the way that they do post on these websites if they are looking for the best reach. It happened on Facebook with businesses, radio stations and other organisations that really wanted to maximise their potential audience, and they're going to have to think differently about the way that they're doing it at the moment.
And sometimes I think it does lead to lower quality content. For example, people think they put up memes and they end up getting a lot of shares, whereas it's the original content that doesn't end up going viral. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it definitely can degrade the content, and that's, you know, something they have to look at when the changes are made and you know, plan a path for the future, I guess.
Well, Trent, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Mitchell's Front Page, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Great catching up with you. We'll catch you then.
Good on your program, technical commentator Trent Geddes, and his website is trent.net.au, trent.net.au. Jump on there if you would like to have a look at all of the tech stories that he puts up during the week.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.